peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. This is kind of the roadie edition. We're taking the show on the road, literally, although not far, just down the street, actually, from my house, my little basement studio, to my friend Andrea's house. So she is our special guest today on the program. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Hello, listeners. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I wanted to come over and talk to you about this particular topic because you and I were discussing this book that you're reading. I read it before, you read it now, and just have been really impacted by the content. And so I thought it would be neat if you could kind of give a book review. So we're going to do that on this show. Also, it's a big one because we've got the Arise Good Things Radio retreat tickets.
Yes.
That are going to be going. And you'll be there, right?
I will.
You better be.
Oh, yeah.
You're on the program. So also, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the book and something really real that I think a lot of us struggle in this era, in this culture, in this stage of life. And that's the digital, I'll just say it, addiction. And we don't want to use that word, and you want to stay away from that word, but I think that is a component that we have to recognize.
Yes.
When there's a constant pull that we don't seem to always control, and that's addiction. And even if you're not that far in, I talked to a girlfriend about this yesterday. I was sharing with her that we were going to do this on the show. And she said, I honestly don't struggle with that. And she said, when I find I'm on my phone, do a better job of multitasking. So she'll listen to the music and she'll clean and she gets a lot more done. And then she puts it up and she has no problem with it. And I love that. And I think if that's where you're at, that's wonderful. But I feel in my spirit, I'm a little bit deeper than that. And so, and I think a lot of things are connected to that. Our emails, you want to make sure you respond to someone's text. And I think it comes from a good place because you want to be a good friend and a good mom, because if your kid's school's reaching out, you want to be able to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about that. And also the, what else do we have on the show today? We're going to talk a little bit about the Sirach Bible study as well. So as we do, we're going to kick off with prayer. And this one, again, like the last episode, deals with fall, with autumn, because I think autumn deserves more than just one mention on one episode, because it's that time of year where the sunsets are a masterpiece, the sun rises, and just the colors of the clouds and the aroma of cider. And again, the sweatpants.
All of our senses are engaged, including feeling those fuzzy sweatpants against
us. That's true. Yes. So I want to start with that prayer and just to tune everything else out and to tune in the voice of what really matters. And that's the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And this prayer was written by Sister Joyce Rupp, and it's the autumn prayer. It says, God of seasons, there is a time for everything. There is a time for dying and a time for rising. We need courage to enter into the transformation process. God of autumn, the trees are saying goodbye to their green, letting go of what has been. We too have our moments of surrender with all their insecurity and risk. Help us to let go when we need to do so. God of fallen leaves lying in colored patterns on the ground, our lives have their own patterns. As we see the patterns of our own growth, may we learn from them. There is always the dimension of mystery and wonders in our lives. Grant us patience when we do not see the blessings. God of geese going south for another season, your wisdom enables us to know what needs to be left behind in our own lives and what needs to be carried into the future. We yearn for insight and vision. God of flowers touched with frost and windows wearing white designs, may your love keep our hearts from growing cold in the empty seasons. God of life, you believe in us, you enrich us, and you entrust us with the freedom to choose life. For all of this, we are grateful. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I think that underlying the word freedom is what we want to feel. We want to feel the freedom to live freely as the daughter of God, as the son of Christ that we are. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit, because this is something that as you read the great lives of saints, you won't hear about their freedom from their smartphone. Francis isn't going to be talking about that. So it is kind of a new phenomenon that we have to walk through and set the stage for generations after us to say, how did my mom handle this? Or how did my dad or my aunt? And you have a great book. It's called Hands Free Mama. And what's interesting about your book is that in some ways I feel like the diets. There are so many different weight loss programs and diets, and it's all common sense. We know what we need to do, but it's just tapping into the right thing that reaches us where we are when we need it.
That's right.
And I read this book, I think a couple years ago, because it wasn't just the title, it was a subtitle that caught my eye. And I didn't even get through it because for me at that time, I thought, I know all this. And it was almost more frustrating because I couldn't do anything about it at the time. And so it was self-defeating, I felt. And then you read it and said, this blew my mind. So tell us a little bit about it, the title, the author, and how you came upon it.
Okay, well, the title is Hands Free Mama, A Guide to Putting Down the Phone, Burning the To-Do List, and Letting Go of Perfection to Grasp What Really Matters. And it was written by Rachel Macy Stafford. I believe this was her first book, and she has another one now that's called Hands Free Life. So that would be for anyone who may not have children. This one's focused more on mothering and children and being and feeling distracted. And same with you. It was the title that caught my eye, and it just grabbed me.
And it's the strong language, burning the to-do list. It's not right. Just like throwing it out.
So I need that to-do list. Everything I need to do is on there, and if I don't have it, I won't do anything today.
I know, but just burning it. So yeah, catch a fire. So what made you want to read this book? Was it something that you, because I know this has been trending kind of in the mom blogs or that kind of circle for a while, but did you just come across it and think, I need this now?
I think it was recommended to me on Amazon, probably based on everything I've purchased, many books I've purchased through Amazon. But I knew in my heart, and I had known that this was an area I needed to work on. And so it just grabbed me, and I put it in my cart, and I clicked add to cart and purchase now. It was the putting down the phone part, and it was just the letting go of perfection, those words also. I had come to a point where I was carrying my phone around. It was almost an appendage. And if I couldn't find it, I would panic. It went everywhere I went, including the bathroom, including up to tuck my kids in bed at night. I would take my phone because what if someone calls or texts or what if there's something I need to know in that half hour of story time and tuck-in time? And I didn't see it as a problem for a long time.
Well, I think it's easy to do because we're practically using it. I think for most people, you're not just sitting there playing games. You're actually corresponding and communicating and checking off your to-do list because it's on there too with your calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just being tied into social media. And now I am on Facebook. I try and sort of limit what I'm how often I'm on there, but I've never been on Twitter. I don't do Snapchat. I'm not really even sure how that all works, but
as my boxer goes off.
Ding, ding, ding. Message.
And that's another thing, because it is kind of a catch-22 in this world we live in. We want to be a part of the new evangelization. We want to engage the culture. In my line of work, I am in media. So now the new big thing is Snapchat or this like Instagram video. I don't even know how to use it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know how to use it, then that means I'm not relevant. And if I'm not relevant, then, I mean, that's what the world would tell you. And I don't want to be caught up in that. But when you do have, to a certain degree, a voice established, you want to be able to reach into the hearts of where the people are.
Right.
And it's so, I feel like, and I know we've talked about this before, even with fashion. I was reading Father Edward Hayes' reflection, and he said the purpose of fashion is to keep us discontent. We're never just happy with what we have because otherwise we wouldn't buy new things and fashion business would go out of business.
Right. We become slaves to the latest.
And the same thing with apps. You have to catch up. You have to do what everybody else is doing and get the followers. And so for you, back to your story, you're doing tuck-in time.
And I would hear it in my kids' voices. Mama, put your phone down. Can we read this story? And I would be half looking at my phone. Just, you know, it was good intentions, as you said, a good intention that, well, maybe the teacher's going to email and I need to see what your homework is, or did we get everything done? Or, you know, let me look at the weather tomorrow to see what you need to wear, if you need to wear long pants or shorts tomorrow. So my intentions were good. I thought these were things I needed to do, but it was the timing. It was that I was distracted. And I was missing really precious moments with my children because of this device in my hand.
I'm turning my phone off right now. Blasted.
Well, and that's the other thing. I now keep my phone largely on mute because I won't be as distracted, because every time I hear that ding, 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 or the ping of the email or the text or the Voxer message, I jump and go grab it. So I've been trying to keep it on mute more and just check it periodically.
Well, that was one of the things in this book, Deep Work, that I talked about several episodes ago earlier this year, but how we don't really drill down cognitively anymore and think deeply because we're always on the surface. And yes. Boredom, when you feel boredom, it's usually right after that a breakthrough will happen. And we don't allow ourselves to be bored anymore. We're always constantly pacified by something that's on the very top level of our cerebral understanding and not really going deep.
That's interesting.
And that's where we live deep. And so when your notifications are always going off, you can't do that. So yes. That's one positive takeaway. Just turned it on mute.
I did. I deleted unnecessary apps. I deleted Instagram. I used to love Instagram. And I love looking at pictures of, you know, my friends and family and their kids and their crafts they've done and the Christmas tree they just decorated and all of these little tidbits of their lives. But then I felt compelled to leave a comment. Then I had to respond to their comment. And then it became not just a couple minutes, but it could be add up to an hour throughout the day of time spent on an app that really didn't matter at the end of the day if I deleted it or not.
But I missed you because I'm on Instagram and you're so visual and you're an artist and a crafter. And so everything you would post would inspire me. And it was like a void when you were gone. It's still like I miss my friend, which is not helping your situation, but you needed that. So did you miss it? Or once it was cut out, it was like, okay, good, relief.
At first I missed it and I would wonder, I'm just curious what so-and-so's been up to. And, you know, a lot of my friends are on Facebook as well. So there's a lot of duplication that I was finding. So I could still keep up to date on Facebook, but not everyone. So there were people that I thought, I wonder what they're up to. And, you know, I just kept telling myself, you've got to just cut this out. You've got to let this go. So I did. And I mean, maybe someday I'll come back to Instagram, but it really became a big time suck for me. I would just get sucked in and, you know, dinner's boiling over on the stove and kids are needing help with homework and I'm just scrolling through my Instagram photos. Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
So Facebook is different though in that is it more interconnected? Is it easier for you to put down? Or is it just you couldn't do both?
I think that's what it was. It was, I couldn't do both. I still wanted to have some connection. So I just chose Facebook. Although Facebook has its share of, you know, toxic things as well, especially in election season, I think.
Yes.
It's been good. I tried to stay off of Facebook for Lent and a friend had a baby and posted her new baby picture and then something else happened and all these major events that I missed because I wasn't on Facebook. So I kind of realized I want to be connected in at least one way.
Okay.
If I'm not getting updates any other way from these friends and family. I have, you know, cousins and family all over the country and friends everywhere. So I do like that form of connection. I just won't let myself scroll through for an hour or 2 hours anymore like I used to.
Well, it's interesting you said that because I was doing some research on this, and with my news anchor job, there's stories that are always coming in. And last week, there was another one about the pervasive, almost crisis of, not crisis, but just the percentage of how many people are addicted to social media. And there's something called transient blindness that is a medical term that people are temporarily losing their vision because of how much they're staring at the screen. And then you hear something like that and it scares you. And also our sense of smell, that the sensory aspect of social media incorporates just about everything but smell. And so that's kind of a sense that it's dulling. And I thought, what is going on with us?
Wow,
you don't think about those things.
No, you don't.
And so I downloaded this app and it's called Moment. I don't know if you've heard of this. And it's a smartphone boot camp tracker. Now I have to turn my phone back on. And so it's interesting because, first of all, you have the bad thing, if you're super into privacy, which most of us should be, is it needs to know everything. It needs to know your location, your photos, because it tracks everything you're doing. And it can give you support to say, now you said you were going to be on for 2 hours today. You're getting close to your time. And it will cut you off if you want to. It will give you blackout times where if you say at, you know, 4 to 5 when my kids are home and we're making dinner, I am not permitted to be on my phone. So it's a free app, and I like that aspect. And already today, it's about 1 o'clock as we're recording this. I've been on my phone. It has accumulated 4 hours.
Wow.
And I don't feel,
between
I mean, I
texting,
was writing
calling,
today.
Right, yeah. Just everything.
And I think, and I don't know if it tracks things that are still open on your phone or how that works exactly. Cause I just downloaded this app, but I was so flabbergasted, but yet I wasn't because I thought I was writing today. I was working on my book, but while I'm working on my book, I'm looking up scriptures.
Right.
So there's all these different reasons where even if you're just on your phone for 30 seconds at a time, and a lot of that, that's what it was. It still adds up.
It does.
I'm messaging my husband because he needs to tell me something. We're coordinating our foreign exchange student, her transportation, all this. And you see in our lives, hours go by. How could that be? So what did you delete any more apps or any other tips that you took away with from this book?
I did delete other apps. Just I kind of went through my phone and I still have a ton, don't get me wrong. But I went through and just thought, the you know, whether it was calorie trackers or things that I kind of half use and half-heartedly use, I just tried to streamline what's on my phone. And also the message that it was sending to my children, because we are pretty strict with electronics in our house. They have my two elementary aged boys each have a Kindle, but they're not allowed to just get on there unless they're reading a book. But if they want to play a game or it's Friday after school and weekends. So for them to see me constantly, my thumb constantly clicking through my screen, I felt like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So I started designating times when I wanted to be, quote, hands-free. So I decided when I wake up in the morning, I glance at my phone just to see, you know, if my mother calls something, they need something or something urgent, school's canceled for a snow day or whatever. I need to see that first thing, but I'm not going to start scrolling through social media first thing in the morning. I'm going to check real quick. I mean, like a 10 second check on my phone, put it down, make breakfast for the kids, help them get ready for school, make sure they have all their homework and that I am really engaged in them and their needs, because it's only 45 minutes and they're out the door to school. Then I can sit there for 10 minutes and check what I need to check to start my day.
So you do have your own designated fasting times where you're not...
I try to when the kids get home from school, and that's, you know, that's the hour of mercy when they come home from school.
That's so
and
true.
Everyone needs a snack. Everyone wants to tell us about their day. And I want to hear that. I want to be focused on them and not distracted. So I try and put the phone down, turn it upside down, go put it in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Keep the charger in the bedroom. So it's not in the main living area because I would be more likely to grab the phone every 5 minutes.
Right. And that's it too. I don't think we realize, like, when I'm seeing this app, it's just because you hear when you're on a reality show, people say, oh, they forget the camera's there. And then you just begin to act. However, when I first downloaded this app, I'm like, I know you're their app and I am not going to be on my phone a lot.
Right.
I'm going to trick myself and I'm going to make sure that this app isn't recording something that would embarrass me, like way too much time that I would want to spend on my phone. And then, but then I, at some point I have to use the normal way that I would use it. And so I just downloaded it yesterday, just got it. And then today already, I'm like, oh my goodness. So I think that's a good idea, just out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, and that does work for me. And my husband's really good at this. He does not spend a lot of time on his phone.
Do you think it's more of a woman thing? Because women are more social?
I don't know. I mean, I see a lot of guys scrolling through sports apps for
that's
hours.
True.
And I've heard other moms, you know, kind of complain about, oh, my husband and his sports, you know, he's on his phone all the time checking scores and who traded which players and...
But I think as a girl in school, I would have like a little note and I pass it to my friend. And that's kind of like texting. And if I Voxer or text my husband, he'll say, just call me. No text. Or I'm texting him like two paragraphs.
And he just writes,
okay.
One word,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. You know,
exactly.
So I think
we do tend to, I guess, elaborate more. Same thing. I'll leave my husband a 2-minute Voxer message and his only response is, okay.
That's it. Anything else that you have a takeaway?
In the car, you know, at red lights, I used to check real quick. Do I have a message? It's a red light. I have
20
seconds. You know, now I try and keep it in the little center section of the car between the, I don't know what that's called, between the two seats.
The console.
The front. Yes.
Yeah.
And talk to my kids. We'll, you know, we'll talk about their day. We'll have a song on. We'll be singing silly songs, ask them questions, have a conversation that I wasn't usually tuned into. And, you know, this book also helped me realize it wasn't just about putting down the phone. It was about not overcommitting and feeling that we have to do it all, be on every committee at the school, have the perfect homemade everything, you know, for the bake sale. And our kids look perfect and they never need a haircut because they've always gotten one just in time. And everything is just this vision of perfection. And I know that I have perfectionist tendencies. I just always have. I'm a very visual creature. Mm-hmm. And that has been hard for me, but I think I'm doing a good job. I'm trying really hard to be aware of it's good enough. It's okay.
And just the surrender with where you are. And your life has changed over the past few years in that you've been in the home, and then now your kids are in school. You've gone back to work a little bit, and that's been an adjustment. But in some ways, has that been good because it's forced you to let things go?
It has. It definitely has. And that was a real struggle at first, adjusting to being back in the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. So I've had to reprioritize and just think about what really matters. And human connection, heart to hearts, living in the moment, looking in my children's eyes when they're talking to me, not looking at the screen. You know, those are the things that I've realized. And
kids notice.
No, they do.
I think that's important, because you just never want to look back and say, what was I even doing? And you brought up Instagram, and I think, what a waste. And these apps are going to be obsolete anyway. And so, yeah, I think there's just a perspective gathering that we need to do on a daily basis. What is the purpose of my day going to be today? And how am I going to spend it, and spend it well and deeply? And like you said, it's the connection.
It is. And how fast time passes. Every year we celebrate the kids' birthdays, and it's been very bittersweet for me. I'm so proud of them and so happy to be celebrating their life, but I know that it's another 365 days that we've checked off the calendar. Did I really make the most of those 365 days? The kids are a little bit taller. Their faces have changed. Have I noticed all that? And there was something that the author wrote in this book that just really, really spoke to me. And she makes this list of all, once she decided to go hands-free, as she called it, all the things that she now knows. I now know that my daughter has a dreamy look on her angelic face when she hears me tell stories about herself as a baby. I now know that she generously offers to help me make muffins and cookies and then magically disappears after she licks the batter. And she goes on and on with this list of moments that she's just tuned into and engaged in. And she says, this list contains a mere fraction of what I have come to know about my younger daughter since I stopped doing so much outside the sacred perimeters of God and family. I look forward to knowing my daughter better each day through periods of simply being, listening, and observing. And what a joyful moment it will be when my radiant 18-year-old daughter stands proudly at her high school graduation. I will be able to say, that's my daughter, Avery. I know her. I know every good and precious, miraculous thing about her. Mm. And I just cried. I was on a plane when I was reading this, and I thought, what a lesson. That's a lesson that I'm grateful I'm learning now before it is too late.
Yes, at the ages. I remember when I left my full-time job and I was so on the pulse of what was going on, because that's what your job is when you're in the media. You have to know what people are thinking about, what they're worrying about, what spiritually maybe they need to hear if you're in Christian ministry. And I remember pulling back from that and thinking, what are my own children's current events? What's their news headline in their life? Do I know their news headline, or do I know what's going on the AP wire? And now I'm kind of back in that again, but I think that's a great reminder. You know, do we have as much interest in our own children's lives as we do on social media and everybody else that we might see? And yes, I don't want to be negative, because I think that there are beautiful things from it, but I pulled a quote from Pope Francis, and he was talking about the fact that he has not watched television for 25 years.
Wow.
And he's not someone that lives under a rock. He's very in the know about the world. He just reads newspapers. He does not use the internet, doesn't watch TV. But this is what he said. He said, it's a problem for those of us that are attached to our computer too much, and it's bad for the soul. It's a psychological illness. He said, it makes you a slave to your computer. So the Lord set us free, and in our freedom, we've just enslaved ourselves again. And I don't want to be too dramatic, but there's a reality to that. And he said, many parents trying to have a family meal felt like children were in another world on their smartphones. Is it because sometimes it is the kids, depending on if you have teenagers, and maybe that's not something police, and it's hard to control because there's so many devices in the home, I think, again today. And he said, acknowledging the virtual world is a reality that we can't ignore. He also called on people to reconsider the amount of time they spend staring at a screen. He said it's part of the progress of mankind, but when it takes away from communal and family life, social life, sport, art, and we remain attached to our computers, this is a psychological illness. And he just said, don't waste your time on that. They distract attention from what is really important. So I think that's the bottom line, is just prioritizing, refocusing, and on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, coming back to that center of what are you asking me to do right now? And it's so easy when it's a habit. It's the power of habit. It's like a magnet pulling us back.
Yes,
but absolutely. To try to fight that, because that's a spiritual strengthening, I think. That's like a conditioning that we can do.
Yes. And then what the distractions end up doing in our lives, in terms of when we're overcommitted, when we're distracted, and you know, that leads to stress. And stress leads to, for me being impatient with my family, feeling kind of out of control, distracted. This tone of my voice changes. I use harsher words. I'm just not the mama I want to be in those moments. And I
Mario,
feel like,
Mario, Mario.
Right. And
I can be a shouter, schedule. Which I feel, but I do think that it's something different with boys. Like girls, even Carolina, who is maybe not, you know, typical developing, you don't have to yell with her. If you raise your voice, she will cry. But the boys, I can't speak normal. I try.
I think there is something different. They're so used to our normal voice, it just doesn't even really faze them.
And I mean, you've got the moms that talk, they just talk really softly, and that's all they need to do. But my children don't have that DNA, like that gene is missing. They have.
Right. I told my husband we should get an intercom in our house so that I could say, guys, it's time for dinner. Just through the intercom instead of time to eat, you know, yelling it upstairs. But just shedding the idea of having to do it all, having to do it perfectly. I've always loved the phrase, a beautiful mess and perfectly imperfect. So I'm trying to embrace those, the fact that we're all flawed, we're all imperfect, we all have shortcomings and fears and vulnerabilities. And, you know, I think if we're all honest with ourselves and with each other, and we're able to not hide behind this facade that everything's perfect and everything's okay, because it's not always perfect. And that's okay. That's our authentic life. And I think that's when friendships are formed and bonds are formed, when we can really be vulnerable with others and say, this is what I'm struggling with, and have that conversation instead of trying to look like we've got it all together.
I agree. And as we kind of wrap this segment up, I think what's beautiful about right now is there's a new season, and every new season is a new chance to start fresh. Because even now, just for me, lighting a candle is, it almost kind of sensory wise, it brings me into, okay, I need to focus now on my home. I'm lighting a candle. I'm making things clean. I'm going to make something, or, you know, doing a dance party, just turning the music on when you're making dinner. And yes, it might require having to, you know, use your laptop or something if you don't have a rate, because I don't even have a regular stereo in my kitchen anymore. I just use my iTunes, but that's okay. And using that moment to connect with your kids and to say, right now, this is a new season. I'm going to use it well. And I'm going to, you know, make my home a sanctuary, do all the things. And like you said, it's going to be imperfect and there's limitations, but
when there's beauty in that, and the kids don't want perfection. Yeah. We're the ones that for some reason feel we need that. They're happy when they spill their glass of milk and we just kind of, that's okay, it's just milk, you know, yeah, instead of really going off the deep end that there's another spill. They are so filled with a peace when we can calmly handle the imperfections.
And I think that reminds me of the year of mercy. We're merciful with ourselves, we're merciful with each other, and we need that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go into the scripture here as we move on to the Arise retreat of, I think, something perfect based on what we just were talking about, and that is Song of Solomon 2:10. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. So we're letting everything go, and we are just surrendering and taking this cloak of whatever we carry off our back, and we're going with him. And that's what this retreat's about. So we want to talk about that. That's the verse. Next April, it's the weekend of Divine Mercy Sunday that we'll have Arise 2017. And I know you know all about it. Last year, we had women from 15 states attend. This year, we're excited to hear that people are bringing friends. They're wanting to come with a buddy, but also the reality that we have 50 tickets available, roughly.
So if you're going to go, it's going to be critical that you do get in when the tickets go on sale Wednesday, October 5th. And the thing about this podcast is I don't know when you're going to hear it. So hopefully you'll hear it. But if you're supposed to go, the tickets will be there. You'll get in. You'll be a part of the event. Otherwise, we just ask for your prayer support. They go on sale at the Hour of Mercy, 3 o'clock, which is a bit tricky because it is after school time. But we're working on, I'm sorry about that, for Eastern time, people. Right? Yes. But if you want a link, and that's another thing on our Facebook page, I will link up for the Good Things Radio friends, the actual event page, because no one else is going to get this page until the week after when tickets go on sale for the public. So that's that. But for those that haven't gone, for those that are maybe thinking about it this year, you were there last year. You're going to be one of our workshop presenters this year. Yes. Can you tell us, for you and to the woman that's just not sure if this is for them, why it would be a good thing to be a part of?
Well, this was my first retreat last year. I had never been on a spiritual retreat, at least not for more than a couple hour little mini, couldn't even really call it a retreat. So this being several days long, I didn't know what to expect. And I can honestly say, still months later after this is over, I still carry bits of the wisdom and the insight that I gleaned during that weekend and the friendships that were formed. There were people that came not knowing a soul, and we all left with, yes, we all left with multiple friendships. We're still keeping in touch in our Facebook group. It's worth every penny to me. There, you learn things about yourself that you didn't even know you needed to know, because you do have time to slow down and pause, reflect, and go deeper and talk with others that are going through similar phases in their life, and you can relate, and there's plenty of girl time and chocolate and wine. And just, it's a, just a great balance. But, you know, Father Nathan Cromley, who will be our retreat master again, is just fantastic. He spoke to our hearts. We just felt so blessed by the whole weekend. So I would say, if you're able, if there's a way you're able to go and it's possible, you won't regret it.
I think too that if you're in a different stage of life, we especially need you, because I think that's what makes retreats like this so special. We're not all the same. We all are bringing something different about where we are in our walk. And we had some women, many, that their children were grown, and some that were pregnant or had little ones, many that are kind of in the middle or had college ages, and plus women from across the country. And each one is dealing with a different stage of motherhood, or also in their marriages. We had single moms, we had widows, we had women that were just, you know, going away, could not wait to get back to their husbands. Like, right. you know, because it was almost like a honeymoon with the Lord, and then they were fired up and they wanted to be better wives when they got home.
Oh, it inspired us all to go back, and part of what we're talking about now, realize what really matters. Be a better wife, be a better mother. It gave us some tools and a fresh perspective to go back and do that.
And you're going to do a workshop. So could you just briefly talk about what you'll do?
So we are going to make a bracelet during the retreat. It's originally, I was going to have everyone make a rosary bracelet, but then I realized, oh, this is Divine Mercy weekend. It needs to be a Divine Mercy chaplet bracelet, which is still based on the same number of beads as a rosary, but you pray the Divine Mercy chaplet on it. So I'm still selecting the beads and all the components, but I can say that it's going to be red and white to sort of represent the blood and water flowing from Christ's side in the image of Divine Mercy. And when you and I were in Italy, I purchased a lot, quite a lot of crucifixes that we're going to use on this bracelet. It's the papal crucifix that Pope Francis wears, little tiny ones. So I thought that was appropriate since he declared the year of mercy.
That was so exciting, because we were literally blocks from St. Peter's, and we found this little shop that our Father Jay, our priest, our spiritual shepherd, was like, you got to go there. He told it. He's like, loves a good deal.
It was a good deal.
So to be there with you in Rome and thinking about the recipients of these medals that we're going to be making at the retreat, that was the coolest thing. So you got that all set. We're good to go. And you don't have to be crafty to do this, right? Because I think there's an intimidation factor, but I think it's therapeutic to do it.
I hope so. I hope so. But you don't have to be. Last year we made bookmarks and everyone finished theirs. They were beautiful.
Yes. I'm sure most still have. I have mine. And yeah, every time you look at it, you think about it.
Right. It's just something to take home and remember. Remember the retreat and to wear and to use to pray with. And it's just a feminine you know, piece of jewelry. So,
okay, I know you have to go because you're doing this on your lunch break and you're way late. And so I'll wrap up. I'm sorry. This is what happens when ladies get together and it's raining. I don't know if you can hear the ambiance of the rain, but just real quick, as we talk about fellowship, before we close the show, I just quickly have to mention the Sirach Bible study, because if you've listened to the podcast for the last few episodes, you've heard this begin to flourish and grow. And on Voxer, we have women from across the country now joining this study of Sirach, and it's been beautiful. And then one random day, I left a message and I said, ladies, I'm out. Love you, bye. And I know that was super abrupt and very bizarre and unlike me, to be honest with you. But I just want to mention that as we talk about burning the to-do list, in some ways, it was a sanity saver. I had to do it because in this other job I'm working, all of a sudden they have me on the schedule more and more and more and every day. And I'm adjusting to that, probably not very well. And I know we all go through that. I know as a friend, there have been times where, you know, I'm praying for you, you're praying for me. I'm not handling things right now. It's a little bit too much. I'm overwhelmed. And then other times where you feel like I feel God's grace. I feel carried every day. Well, that particular day, I was having a bad day. And so I let it go, but we're still doing it. And the women, again, because there's such a diversity of beautiful women, there's such a richness and a depth to this study. So if you still want to do it, we're still taking, wonderful participants. I'm just not leading it anymore. And thanks be to God for the mercy of the women for understanding that. And so I felt like kind of derelict in my duty though, because I just was like, who does that? So thank you. But I think that only sisters in Christ, you kind of really understand. And instead of people being like, well, that was weird or forget this, they were offering prayers and they were saying, I've been there, I've done that. So thank you for that understanding, because that means more than anything. To know that you walk in solidarity with fellow sisters, and we all need each other. So I guess that's it. Next week on the show, I want to mention this. We're going to talk a little bit about best shows to watch during winter months. I don't know if you and George are watching any series, any programs.
Not right now.
Okay.
We could use some ideas.
Yeah, somebody said the Vikings. Jim watches that a little bit. I don't. Kiefer Sutherland has a new show. It's called The Designated Survivor. I don't know. I always like that Call the Midwife. Jim's always liking the something with Survivor or I don't know.
In it's
the
hard to find that common
a medieval, yes. So that's a couple. Also, Molly in Pittsburgh, she wrote that she is watching Cleveland Hustles, produced by LeBron James.
Oh.
That's a program we've covered up at the news station, and it's great. It's kind of a mix of Shark Tank and The Prophet. People starting businesses in Cleveland, Ohio. I can't remember now. Is it on? It's not C-SPAN. One of those channels. I didn't do my homework. So anyway, we'll talk about that. If you have feedback, if you want to tell me what show you're enjoying, any feedback on what Andrea had to say, let us know. Reach out. That's what it's about. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's the email. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. He wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudios.com. And as we close, I just want to offer the reminder that God is with us, and that's why we call him Emmanuel. He is with us. He is within us. And wherever we're walking, to call on him in the times where we feel like we need help or we're distracted or we're impatient, that he is with us always. And we call him Father. God bless you. And until next time, friends, thanks for being with us.